Right. My phone's gonna die at some point, so.
So is mine.
It might be time to get this party started.
Did it update all the schnurp? Okay, yeah, it did. Great!
Did it update all the schnurp?
Well, I wanted to make sure all the notes were in there.
Okay. And the notes are in there.
The notes are in there.
Good. Welcome to Killer Pillow Talk.
Episode 13.
Lucky 13.
Yep. I'm calling this one, as I have already titled it, Sunday Bloody Easter Sunday.
Sunday Bloody Easter Sunday. You know, I love the Easter Bono. I love Chef's Kiss.
Easter Bono. In your Easter Bono.
Wasn't it you too that sang
Yeah.
Sunday Bloody Sunday. It was you too, and then it was George Bush. You ever see that video?
No.
I have framed the battle phone. Remember they edited all his words to him saying one word at a time?
No, I don't remember this at all. I think you're making this up.
No, everybody go look up. Everybody remembers it from 15 years ago on the internet.
I don't remember it from 15 years ago on the internet, so I don't think it happened. All right. Well, anyway. This is a lovely family story about what one family got up to on a Easter Sunday in 1975.
Oh, it's Easter themed. Because it was just Easter, if you're following the
it's Easter,
Gregorian calendar.
It's Easter Monday today.
Today's Easter Monday.
Whatever that means.
You're hearing this on Easter Wednesday.
You're going to be hearing this on Easter Wednesday.
Or Thursday. Depending on how busy my week is.
Maybe even Easter Friday.
Is that Good Friday? It's the best. I call it Best Friday. Because Easter's already happened. Candy is cheap.
Or Good Friday is the Friday before Easter, isn't it?
Right.
I don't know. I'm not Catholic.
Me neither.
I mean, I am, I guess. I don't know.
You're staring at a Jewish person.
I'm Quaker.
Oh.
If you want to put a label on it.
You're a lot like the, who is it, the Romans? On Easter, you're staring at a Jewish person. Okay.
What do you mean when Jesus, you know, was crucified and all
right,
that?
Right.
Okay. Anyway, fun facts. Okay. So this is the story of the Easter Sunday Massacre.
That's me doing lightning, thunder and lightning. It is raining out, though. I do want to mention
it. It is raining. You know, it's creepy rain, as usual.
Hear it?
This isn't normally on the podcast, and before we have done like serial killers, This doesn't technically qualify as a serial killer.
Yes.
Even though he did murder multiple people.
No, take it back.
It was just like all at once. So that technically is a spree killer. Yeah. Anyway, let's get into it.
My favorite sprees are shopping.
And candy?
And candy.
There it is.
That's it.
All right, this James Urban Rupert.
Killing didn't even make the list.
Or Rupert, I don't know. It's R-U-P-P-E-R-T.
Rupert.
Rupert.
Gotta be Rupert.
Okay, well, he was born on April 12th, 1934.
My parents' wedding anniversary.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, that's interesting. To Charity and...
They just had an ad. Do you wish them a happy anniversary?
No, I didn't know it was their anniversary.
Okay.
You don't tell me anything until after the fact. And then
there were cards when I was there this weekend.
Again, you didn't tell me. And I wasn't invited to this weekend, so...
You are invited to this week. Don't play that card. That's one card that shouldn't be played.
Anyway. Okay, so he was born April 12th, 1934, to Charity and Leonard Rupert.
Charity?
I don't know.
Spell it?
Charity, like charity.
Like Goodwill.
Yeah.
Charity.
Like the musical Sweet Charity. But I think that's about a hooker.
Charity is a hooker's name. Of course, Charity can be any person they want to be.
That's fair. I keep watching this.
But a lot of hookers are named Charity. Okay.
Well, speaking of... Hooker name. I don't know if it's a hooker name, but...
Speaking of hooker name.
But I've been watching all day. I've been watching the Spring Baking Championship, and...
Where does this go?
Well, I just keep seeing the ads for like the 90 Day Fiancé diary. 90 Day Fiancé, yeah, there we go. And then the one guy's like, a lot of my friends think mahogany isn't real. And I was like,
it is real. I prefer cedar, but mahogany is real, okay?
No, please. But like, the, I guess he met doors. This girl from like Brazil. That, like,
how do you think they make doors in cabinets?
Shut up. He like met this girl from Brazil, I guess, and her name is Mahogany. And I was like, really? That doesn't sound Brazilian at all. Anyway. Yeah, what's a Brazilian wood?
A Brazilian wood.
Anyway. Or
it's not that kind of show.
Or a Norwegian wood.
It's not that kind Norwegian of show. Norwegian wood.
That's another song.
By Bono?
No, by the Beatles.
The Beatles?
I'm pretty sure.
You know me and Ringo and Paul. Anyway. I am Paul.
Okay. So, James's parents didn't make life easy for him. His mother told him that she would have liked to have had a girl for her second child, since she already had another son.
It always starts out this way, that you get told you're not wanted by your parents.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think a lot of people... I can't say that everyone who says is told by their parents that they're not wanted it turns out to be a terrible person, but you know.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
It's there are a lot of
I'm assuming he because he could prefer whatever he wants. I'm assuming he preferred to stay a heterosexual male.
I'm not.
Oh, we're getting to that?
We're getting to the. Uh-oh. I mean. She wanted a girl. She had another son, and that was James's brother, Leonard Jr.
Lenny.
So, yeah, Leonard Sr. wasn't much better than Charity, even though her name is Charity. Charitable, she wasn't, I guess. I don't know.
There's Aaron, and then her name is Charity, but she's not.
So his father, Leonard Sr., had a violent temper and barely showed any affection for his two children.
You know what? That's what did it.
I mean, it probably didn't help. But Leonard Sr. died in 1947 when Leonard Jr. was 14 and James was 12.
See, the problem resolved itself.
Yeah, not quite. So after their father died, Leonard Jr. took over as man of the house.
Leonard Jr. is older than James.
He is 2 years older, yes. It's
always going to confuse me. Go on.
And his idea of being a good father figure was incessantly bullying his brother for being a weakling.
You know what? That's what did it.
So sweet. A good old American family, just like the Cleavers from Leave It to Beaver.
Golly Wally.
I mean, I haven't seen that show, but any family...
You've never seen Leave It to Beaver?
No, I have a point.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, make your
point. I haven't seen that show, but any family who knowingly names one of their sons Beaver when their last name is Cleaver is obviously trying to torture their child.
Hey, the other son was named Wally.
Exactly. Why? These parents are very cruel. They want their child to be like made fun of for the rest of their lives.
June.
Yeah, I mean.
That's the mother's name.
I forgot what the father's name was.
Never mentioned in the show.
Never mentioned in the show. He doesn't exist.
He exists.
But it's the 1950s, so of course a man is not around when you need him.
The mother's home. June's home all the time.
I know. She's taking care of the kids all the time, and he's off.
No, the kids are out running around in the street. I know. The show is just them running in the street.
And then she's just like, I'm having my afternoon cocktails while my children are running around rampant in the streets.
They're like,
and
the
my
woods.
Husband is selling... linoleum or something.
Yeah, yeah. They're in the woods the whole show.
Okay. Is that why they call him Beaver?
Mm-hmm.
Is that his name is Beaver?
Yeah, he swims in the river.
Isn't his...
Damn it, Beaver!
Okay, well, this... All right, anyway. So, I guess... So, things are bad for James at home. So, at the age of 16, he runs away and he tries to commit suicide by hanging himself with his bedsheets.
Nope.
So I guess it's kind of like that thing where you always used to see in movies or like cartoons where like kids would sneak out of the house by tying bundles of their bed sheets together and then tying one end to their bedpost and throwing the other one out the window.
Mm-hmm.
Except maybe before he threw the sheets out the window, he tied it around his neck first.
Mm.
Possibly.
No. And this is before Windows had screens.
Whatever. It's, it, he
Growing
did it
up, my
and,
window had a screen.
Well, it didn't work. Whatever he did, it didn't work. So he wound it up going.
That's, well, it's not, I'm torn. Good. Right.
I mean, I don't
want him to kill himself.
I don't condone suicide, but if he had killed himself,
I know it's a cat.
The rest of the story would not have happened.
Yeah,
okay. I'm not saying that anyone deserves to die.
No, and he was having problems.
He was having problems, but instead of getting like help with his problems, like a
well, it was person, the '50s.
Nah.
Late '40s.
It was the yeah, that would have been the '50s there. All right. So it didn't work. So he ended up going back home to his family, which didn't turn out so well for them. But we'll get to that later. So as an adult, Ruppert was 5'5" and he weighed 135 pounds. And people described him as a modest, bookish and helpful man who was unremarkable and quiet.
That is how most people describe me, too.
I know. That's what I thought. I was like, oh, so it's Charlie.
I know. I'm hearing it. I'm like, oh, gosh. I fit the bill.
No.
You got me dead to rights.
I mean, I did for a while think maybe you were a serial killer because you'd never had any relationships before me because that sounded weird.
Am I?
I don't know. Are you?
Okay.
Are you doing something on the weekends I'm not aware of?
I stay here most weekends.
Okay. Mostly because the subway doesn't work.
Right.
MTA! No. Anyway. So he'd never committed a crime before either, so he didn't have a police record at all. So by 1975, James was very jealous of his older brother, Leonard Jr., because he had this successful job and family. And James, on the other hand, had dropped out of college after 3 years and then trained as a draftsman, which is apparently a technical engineer that draws plans for machinery.
Yeah. Which drafting is drawing the schematics of.
Yeah, well, I would think you would need to go to college for that because of like technical aspects, but I don't know. It's the 70s, so I guess whatever.
It's basically like drawing extruded photos and an exploded view photo. Like, you know, those manuals they put together where it's like the screw and there's a line and it's going to go into the hole that it's supposed to go into.
Yeah, but don't you need to, like, for, I don't know, parameters and stuff?
It's a lot of measurements, really.
Isn't that, like, math and stuff, though?
And measuring is, when you add measurements together, it's math, but...
I don't know. I felt like you need to go to school for that, but I don't know. It's the 70s, so I guess they don't care.
Hey, it was the 70s. They didn't need college till the late 90s.
They're like, oh, whatever, just draw a picture and make it look believable, and that's fine.
Yeah, college only became important in the late 90s.
No, so well. Anyway, so by 1975, James is 41, and he wasn't drafting anything because he was unemployed, unmarried, and still living at home with his mother. yeah, bummer. Whereas his brother Leonard Jr. had a degree in electrical engineering, was married to James's ex-girlfriend.
James's ex-girlfriend?
I don't know how that happened.
Ooh, that's strike three. He's a serial killer.
Owned his own home in the city of Fairfield, Ohio, and they had 8 children together. A lot of children.
He must have started when she was with James.
I know. Wikipedia didn't go into the backstory of why he somehow married his brother's ex-girlfriend, but I don't know. That's also...
That stings.
That's kind of like cruel and unusual.
I've never had
punishment.
A girlfriend, and I know that stings.
So that would be like, yeah, if we broke up and then I started dating your brother and we got married.
No, it'd be like if you started dating my brother now, like.
But yes. Anyway.
Because he had to have 8 children.
He had to have 8 children. I'd have to start 10 years ago.
You'd have had to have dated my brother 10 years ago. Yesterday.
No, 10 years ago, he would have been like 12.
Who, my brother?
No, he would have been...
No, we're 20. 30.
What I know, but you seem like you're like 12.
You would have been 10 years or younger, too. It's not like you travel from the age you're at now down.
I know, but like it would be like... you wouldn't even be old enough to drink. It's weird.
Me?
Yeah.
Us? I wasn't.
Either of you.
Yeah, all right, great.
You'd be 20 years old, you'd be like... Well, I'm still in college. I've never kissed a girl before.
It was a simpler time.
Charity.
Case.
was disappointed that James was unable to hold down a job, and she was frustrated because he was constantly drinking and going out to bars at night. And
James is a charity, James.
And so she threatened to kick him out of the house, like, multiple times. And at this point, he had owed his mother and his brother money because he lost most of the little cash he did have in the 1973-1974 stock market crash.
It's been doing it since then?
Yeah.
I can't with this stock.
Well, technically it's been doing it since the 1920s.
I can't with this stock
market. That's how you think the Great Depression started.
Gee, I forgot about the Great Depression.
All right, so a month before this Sunday, Bloody Sunday, James purchased ammunition and inquired about getting silencers for his weapons, because apparently he had, like, a collection of guns, which is, I guess, normal for people in Ohio.
Nowadays.
That should have been a red flag.
Person living at home with their parents, having a lot of guns. Yeah, we'd expect that.
So his behavior became
back then,
more and more unusual, like, the deeper he got into this depression. And on Saturday, March 29th, 1975, the day before Easter, witnesses saw him do target practice by shooting a bunch of tin cans with his .357 Magnum on the banks of the Great Miami River in Hamilton, Ohio. He's like, yeah, you know, just...
No
big deal, just me shooting some cans, shooting the shit with these cans. I guess
Ohio's always had the laws where you can just have guns and...
Well, I thought that was Texas, but...
Shoot guns.
I thought that was Texas, but, it's in that middle area.
If you're in Pittsburgh and you drive west, right, into Ohio, you do see cars and trucks with, like... It's like gun country.
Yeah. Like a gun rack?
Probably.
A gun rack for their gun rack? Anyway, so I guess, yeah, people saw him doing that and they were just like, oh, that's, you know.
Normal behavior.
Typical Saturday afternoon behavior.
We didn't have the words incel available to us yet, did we?
Shooting tin cans by the side of the river. How fun.
Nice to see him getting out.
Yeah. So later that evening, James went out to the 19th hole cocktail lounge, which he did, I guess, pretty much every night.
Oh, I love golf.
I guess that's what it is. And he...
It would be the bar at a golf course. The 19th hole.
Okay, well, I don't know. I assume
18 holes of golf.
And then a 19th hole
is the cocktail. And then the 19th hole is a bar.
Is a cocktail.
Right.
All right. Got it. 19th hole is a cocktail glass. Okay.
What song is that?
I don't know.
Another Bono hit?
It sounds like a country western song I just made up.
Huh. I'm about to check my iPhone for one week. Well, and all that shit got 19th downloaded. 19th
hole is the cocktail lounge.
Remember when Bono's CD got downloaded onto our iPhone?
Yes, and now he's watching you and he has your social security number.
Who?
Bono.
Bono?
Yep. He's starting a cult and
really?
And he's sending subliminal messages through his music.
Wait. People believe that? And you too? Okay. Here we go.
Okay, that was dumb. I didn't get that for till just now, but that was dumb. I'm going to get up and leave now. And no, I won't.
You know me. I like to walk on the edge. All right, shut it down.
All right.
20-minute podcast.
Jump out. Open the window. I want to get out.
Dawn, it's raining.
No, you're right. It's wet.
It's wet.
So there he chatted with an employee that worked at the bar. Her name was Wanda Bishop.
Wanda Bishop.
You know, like Peter Bishop from Fringe.
Olivia Dunham, have you met Peter Bishop? Peter Bishop, this is Josh. He plays your son. You're playing Walter. No,
I love that my favorite part of that show was like...
Olivia Dunham, have you met Peter Bishop?
When Walter
Peter
goes,
Bishop,
stop it.
Have you met Olivia Dunham?
I wouldn't just, you know. Wait, I forget what he says. He says, like, you know what I would love? A root beer float.
He had some of the best, like, because he was like.
One-liner, non-sequitur things that he would say that just made no sense.
There were times when Walter was senile and there were times when he wasn't senile.
But he would just say the most random stuff, and it was so funny.
But he was, like, usually the one who figured stuff out.
Yeah.
I loved Fern.
Oh, such a good show. Okay. So he chatted up good old Wanda Bishop, who was 28 years old and the mother of five.
A lot of kids back then.
Yeah, I know. They're just, like, popping out children.
There was nothing to do.
Yeah, he was like, I'm bored. Let's have sex and pop out another kid.
Didn't have all the Googles and gadgets.
Well, we can't. It's raining out, so we can't go shoot tin cans. So let's pop out some more babies. The 70s.
That's not tin can shooting weather.
So she later reported to authorities that James was frustrated by his mother's demands of him and was upset that she was evicting him. So he needed to solve the problem.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know what you meant by that.
What were the demands again?
She just wanted him to have a job and pay rent.
Like, get a job.
Yeah. So this is what he complained to Wanda about. He said that his mother said that if he could afford to buy beer seven nights a week, then he should have money to pay rent and, like, be able to live in his own apartment, I suppose.
Yeah.
Or at least be chipping in money to her, I guess, for living there.
Oh.
I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he was 41 years old at this time, so it's, like, kind of a little bit late to be living with mom still, but I don't know. I guess there wasn't a lot of money.
Nowadays, you wouldn't bat an eye.
In the machinery drafting business. Robert left the bar at 11 p.m., and then he returns to the bar later in the evening, I don't know, like, or earlier, depending on how you want to put it. And Wanda asked him if he had solved the problem, and he said not yet. So he stayed out to the bar. He stayed out at the bar, not to the bar. He stayed out to the bar. That doesn't make sense. Until 2:30 a.m. when it closed.
When it closed, yeah.
Yeah.
Last call.
Last call. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Closing time.
That's a Bono song.
No.
Oh.
It's not. Okay, so the next day, on Sunday, March 30th, 1975, it's Easter Sunday. And James's brother, Leonard Jr., and his wife, Alma, brought all of their eight children, ranging from ages 4 to 17, to Grandma's house on Minor Avenue.
Over the river.
And through the woods. To Grandmother's house we go on Minor Avenue.
They have to say two cars.
I don't know.
Or does all eight? I mean, all, there were no seatbelts, right? So all eight kids probably shuffled into that Cadillac.
Someone sitting on somebody's lap.
Leather seat.
Just
someone
tie them.
You know, used to have people ride. People used to ride in the trunks.
In the way, way back. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they just piled them on top of each other and just threw them in the car. Or maybe they had were minivans a thing back. Like a conversion
van. What year is it?
1975.
No. Van.
Maybe they have one of those shaggin wagons.
Shaggin' wagon, that's what I call my car.
That's why they have so many children, and they had a shaggin' wagon, and they just kept popping out kids in there.
Shaggin' wagon, that's this bed, right?
Okay. Anyway, James was nowhere to be found since he was...
Oh, where's James? He's invited.
He was sleeping. Sleeping off his hangover.
Oh, his hangover. All right, he's at the bar till 2:30.
Yeah, so he was upstairs sleeping, and then the family was out on the front lawn having an Easter egg hunt.
As you would.
Like you do.
Pretty normal Easter activity.
Yep. You know, hunting for rabbits and eggs.
Hunting for rabbits. Yeah, I don't know about that.
I don't know how the correlation happens where it's like Easter, you get eggs, and then rabbits.
Rabbits lay eggs. Go with me on this one. And they get painted... I'm already lost.
We're very lost. Listen, I don't know how this happened.
Don't make me explain commercial holidays. They make no sense.
Unless they're Cadbury rabbits.
Well, the Cadbury bunnies do, actually.
Because they're part chicken. I don't know.
They lay peats.
Anyway. So at 4 p.m., James finally wakes up. And he, you know...
Needed his beauty sleep. Needed 14 hours.
Yeah, and he loads his .357 Magnum, two .22 caliber handguns, and a rifle, and
I don't like it.
Goes downstairs.
No.
Yeah. And the children were playing in the living room while Charity...
He kills his family?
I'm getting to that.
I don't like this.
I know, it's not very nice.
It's not very nice.
It is very mean and awful. I understand this. But you kind of spoiled it when you just said, oh, he kills his family?
I'm asking. Okay. You're leading to it.
All right, well, I was getting to
it. I have no clue what's about to happen.
Let me finish talking. I
gotta freaking prepare myself.
Okay, well, you gotta let me finish talking.
Go ahead.
I should not have known.
Sorry.
All right, so the children are playing in the living room, and Charity, Alma, and Leonard Jr. were preparing lunch in the kitchen. I don't know why they're preparing lunch at 4 o'clock, but whatever. Or maybe a late dinner.
Sandwiches.
I don't know. Early dinner? Late lunch. I don't know. So when James entered the room, he immediately goes to Leonard, shoots him in the head, and kills him instantly.
No.
Yeah, then he shot his sister-in-law, Alma, and killed her. At this point, his mother lunges towards him, and as she did, he shot her in the chest. And then it says that he shot her in the head, too, but I'm not sure if he did that at that point, if he did it later on.
This is his family.
Yeah, I know. And then he killed his 11-year-old nephew, David, and his nieces, Teresa, who was 9, and Carol, who was 13. And I guess they were in the kitchen, too. And then James turns the corner and enters the living room, and one by one, he shoots his nieces and nephews. Anne was 12. Leonard III was 17. Michael was 16. Thomas was 15. And John was 4.
Is this over yet?
Yeah. That was all of them. And the only sign of a struggle at the scene was an overturned waste paper bin. So that's all, like, I guess.
What about him? Did he kill himself?
No.
No.
So what the Butler County coroner believed that Rupert had shot some of his victims more than once to prevent them from escaping. So the massacre was over in like less than 5 minutes. So I think he like did a pretty like rapid fire, literally. No one had a time to really react or do anything. And he spent 3 hours in the house before he finally called the police and said, there's been a shooting.
Spent 3 hours there and then
just was like, sitting there. And then
you
he was
guys
like,
aren't going to believe what I did.
I was like, there's been a shooting. I'll be
He's
here.
A psychopath.
I don't know what's wrong with him.
You don't know what's wrong with him? Let's start.
Okay. Yeah. So he just waited inside the front door for the authorities to arrive, just sitting there like all his whole family's dead and he's just like, chilling out. I don't know, he's like watching the game or something. And at this point, like...
He turned himself in.
Yeah.
They caught him. Right?
He didn't try to run or anything.
He didn't run anywhere. They have him.
They have him. He didn't
He totally like tells them he did it, right?
He doesn't confess necessarily.
Because they're going
to
be like, there's a shooting. What happened, son? And he...
Well, obviously, you see, he's the only one there, and everyone else
he's
is dead.
He's got his smoking in his hand. He's like, I don't know what happened.
I don't know what happened. All these guns lying around. Maybe they shot themselves.
All these guns went off.
At the same time, and I was nowhere to be found.
Jeez.
Yeah, it was a lot. So after the massacre, the entire town of Hamilton was in shock. People,
wait, the police come over? Do we miss that part?
Yeah, the police come to the house and arrest him.
Oh, they arrested him.
And after the massacre, the entire town of Hamilton is in shock. They're like, I can't believe this happened. People who knew James thought like, oh, this would never be something that he would do. He's not capable of such a thing. Like, he's a
James
nice guy.
Isn't?
This is what people who knew him thought.
He was doing target practice, I don't know.
Yeah, but they didn't assume, maybe he was just like, you know.
Goddamn woman.
Boys will be boys going out and shooting their guns. I don't know. And I don't know, it's the 70s. I don't ever like.
I know, it's the 70s.
The warning signs are never like, they're like, oh, it's fine.
Peace and love, peace and love.
That's the 60s, but okay. Oh.
I was hoping it would extend to the 70s.
Maybe sometimes. But and the neighbors of the Rupperts thought they were a nice, happy family. So they did not.
They were a nice, happy family. The problem is this James Kip.
So he's immediately arrested and charged with 11 counts of aggravated homicide.
Good.
But he refused to answer any of the questions the police asked him.
Bad James.
And he was very uncooperative. He was like, I'll be able to get away with it because I'll just plead insanity.
No.
Yeah, he's one of those...
Well, those insane people.
Insane people that, you know, just like...
Who pleads insanity.
That I'm crazy and I just did it out of nowhere. But honestly, that doesn't make sense because he definitely, like, pre-planned all this.
He knew what he was doing.
It wasn't like a, like, oops, spur of the moment, like, rage thing, like, where, like, I blacked out and then I woke up and then there was blood everywhere.
Yeah, he planned to do it. He woke up, planned to do it.
I know.
Did it with a hangover, no less. You think he enjoyed those loud bangs with a hangover?
Well, probably not.
Probably did it and then said, oh, now let me make some carrot juice and eggs. I don't know what they use for hangover cures back then.
I don't know, a raw egg.
Was it carrot juice and raw eggs? I don't know.
Prairie oysters.
Prairie oysters. Mom, where's the prairie? Oh, damn it. All right, where's the prairie oysters?
Charity, where's the prairie oysters? So County Prosecutor John Holcomb came in and he saw the crime scene and he said there was so much blood on the first floor that it was dripping through the floorboards into the basement and apparently to this very day can still be seen in the wood.
Can we shut this off? I'm done. That was
just... We're almost done.
Don't tell me that.
Yeah.
Don't tell me that. You know what? I don't want to know. You know what?
Did you stop it?
No, I don't want to know.
We're almost done. It's not very long. So altogether, Ruppert fired 35 rounds and all four of his guns were recovered at the scene. And all of his 11 victims were buried in Arlington Memorial Gardens in Cincinnati, Ohio.
I've been to Cincinnati.
Yeah, well, they're buried there.
Did not know they were there at the time.
So a year after the massacre, all of the contents of the house were auctioned off. So they, like, invited people in and were like, here, we want this chair? It's $10 or take it.
And it probably was $10 back
then. I don't know what it was, but I mean, people came.
Was like an
estate. They had like an estate sale.
Was it in the 70s still or the 80s?
No, this is a year later. It's in 1976.
So they probably probably was like $5.
And then the house was cleaned, recarpeted, and subsequently rented to a family who was new to the area. So they had no idea that 11 murders had taken place in that house.
And do they have to disclose? Usually on a thing, you have to disclose if someone's died.
I don't know. That was the 70s. They probably didn't have to do that then. This is my motto for the episode. That was the 70s. They didn't do any of this.
Honey, can you get the rice from the basement? Oh, okay. That, you know, the ceiling's red down here.
Not surprisingly, the new family left the house because they said they were hearing voices and unexplained noises.
Oh, so it's haunted.
I mean,
you would think.
If you murdered 11 people in a house, wouldn't you be haunted too?
It was haunted. It's going to be haunted.
If you were a house that had 11 people murdered in it, wouldn't you be haunted too?
If you were a house that had 11, this is like if a train leaves the station at 9 a.m., if you were a house that had 11 people murdered, wouldn't you be haunted too? I might. I very well might.
And that's a lot of unfinished business between, like, especially since a lot of them were children.
I hate it.
I mean, yeah, I personally was like...
Because ghost children are the scariest thing ever.
They're super creepy.
I don't want to be anywhere near ghost
children. Come play with me.
What is this, The Shining? Now you got Milo wanting to play with him.
Oh, Milo. Milo's like, I'll come play with you. Ghost child, I'll play with you. Haunted Victorian ghost child, I'll play with you. Anyway. So a lot of other families, I guess, have moved in and out of the house since then, and it is still occupied, but I don't know.
By who?
By the ghosts, obviously.
Oh. Are people in there right now?
I don't know. I can't.
They're probably hearing voices. You said that people moved in and out?
A bunch of families moved in and out.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Just says it's still occupied, but I don't know if that meant by, like, the ghosts or...
Occupied.
Or by, like,
people walk in to see it, and this is the upstairs. Occupied. And we're leaving.
And don't mind the flying...
The silverware
projectiles coming at your head. That's just,
you know,
the ghost.
What? The chandelier wiggles, but it's all in good fun.
That's going to be a really overcrowded house. It's got 11 ghosts living there, and then also whoever's in the house.
11 ghosts and one bathroom.
Oh. This is the plot of the CBS TV show Ghosts.
Ghosts, yeah.
Oh, no.
Right before How We Roll.
His original trial was held in Hamilton, Ohio, which is the town that he lived in.
Hamilton, Ohio.
Sure. And they had a 3-judge panel that found him guilty on 11 counts of murder, and they sentenced him to life in prison.
They got him.
But the sentence didn't take.
What?
Because I don't know why the first trial was declared a mistrial.
No.
Because it was decided.
Hey, that's Mr. Trial to him.
Well, it was decided he couldn't receive a fair trial on Hamilton because everyone had already formed their own opinions of the case. Like, they already knew, like, this guy murdered his whole family.
The town was turned against him already.
Yeah.
They couldn't find any impartial jurors.
Probably not.
The jury was all his good peers.
Well, that's what happens when you murder your whole family. Everyone
hates
you.
That's what happens when you murder your whole family.
And people don't like you anymore.
Next time.
So let that be a lesson.
Wait, so where they had to have the trial again? You can't do double jeopardy.
Well, that was a mistrial, so that doesn't count.
Doesn't count. Great. Let's move on to this first round of jeopardy. What is they had the trial again?
So they have a second trial, and it begins in June of 1975.
Okay.
And the prosecutors revealed evidence from witnesses that stated they had seen him engaging in target practice the day before and inquiring about silencers for his weapons.
Right. At the gun shop.
Wanda Bishop also testified that he had complained to her about his mother trying to evict him and how he had to solve that problem somehow.
His bar companion, Wanda Bishop.
And as a result, in July of 1975, Ruppert received 11 consecutive life sentences.
Thank you.
But his lawyers appealed this decision, and he was granted a new trial in 1982. Now. I don't know how this happened. I don't know how this guy got so many chances. It's kind of ridiculous. Like, honestly.
What's that amusement park in Ohio?
Cedar Point.
This is more of a roller coaster than Cedar Point.
I auditioned for a job there. They didn't hire me.
I don't.
But I guess.
Stop toying with my emotions, woman. This is what happens.
So his lawyers appealed the decision and he was granted a new trial in 1982.
A third trial.
Yeah.
Trial 3. And hey, third time.
So his defense attorney, we can thank him for that. Hugh D. Holbrook. Was convinced that his client was clinically insane, and he personally paid a group of expert psychiatrists and psychologists from all over the country to examine him.
And what did that turn up?
So then on July 23rd, 1982, another 3-judge panel. I listed the 3-judge panels. It's like always like we need all 3 of them to like.
It's a shame. Did they televise this? It's better than OJ.
So another 3-judge panel found Ruppert guilty on 2 counts of murder.
Okay.
For his mother and his brother.
All right, we got him.
However, for the other 9 counts of all the children, he was found not guilty by reason of insanity, which is bullshit.
What do you mean, reason of insanity?
I know.
Well,
that's
how was
bullshit.
The first two not insanity?
I don't know. That's bullshit. I mean, honestly, I don't get it.
What? Reason of insanity? You know who's insane? The judges and juries.
I know. And then so he was given 2 consecutive life sentences.
Good.
He served consecutively.
Did he do?
What?
Are they being the British television show? Are they being served?
Yeah. Well, since capital punishment was suspended in the U.S. from 1972 to 1976, as a result of the Supreme Court's decision in Furman v. Georgia.
Right.
And that crime occurred in 1975.
Yeah.
Ruppert was not available or not able to receive the death penalty for his crimes, even though he probably should have.
He should have. You would expect.
I would think so. Yes. He murdered like 9 children.
In this case, he's one of those people who should be on death row.
And honestly, I was like, okay.
Take one of those people
I
who
get
should
it. You got
be
a
on
problem,
death row.
You got a problem with your family and your brother and your mom, but why you got to take it out on the kids?
I know. Leave the kids out of it. Listen, here is a man who should be on death row.
Yeah.
We got a bunch of people right now who are on death row and not supposed to be there.
I know. I don't know. Our justice system is horribly flawed.
As we can tell.
As we can tell by this story.
The third trial was what it took to where you can get this guy. But he is in jail or he's dead?
He's not in jail. I think he's, as of October 2021, Ruppert is still incarcerated in the Franklin Medical Center in Columbus, Ohio. So good. I think he's in like an insane asylum type of situation.
Yeah, so he's incarcerated. So he's in
padded prison. Walls. And yeah, I don't know if he's in prison. I think it's like, because it's not like a prison. It's probably more of like a rehabilitation like an center.
Asylum,
yeah, type of situation, because he just pleaded.
Many asylums are haunted too, so that's
Hopefully he's getting tortured by ghosts. And it's in Columbus, Ohio. And then in June 1995, when he was 61, he was granted a hearing before the state parole board.
No.
But his release was denied.
Good.
Thank you.
Rehabilitated? I don't know the meaning of the word.
I don't think this guy can be rehabilitated. And then he received another hearing in April 2015.
Mm-hmm. No.
But that was denied too.
Good.
And his next hearing is set for February 2025, when he will be 90 years old. So here's hoping he kicks the bucket before then.
I still don't trust him. I still don't trust him to be let out at 90.
Honestly, a 90-year-old man, you'd think he'd be like, well, he could barely lift up his arms now. No. But I was like, no, it's fine.
That guy's got strength.
Problems.
Yeah, I don't trust him at 90 either.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I got bullied a lot as a child too, but I didn't go killing people. Yeah, so that is the story of...
This is your idea of a fun Easter.
The Easter Sunday Massacre.
Easter Sunday Massacre.
I don't think it's well a known? Fun Easter. I don't know. I didn't know about it. So I
How did you find out about this?
Because I was looking for Easter murders.
Did somebody finally write in?
No. I was looking for Easter murders. And then there was another one I saw that was like... there was this... I don't know if it's real or not, if it's an urban legend about the Bunny Man.
The Bunny Man.
Yeah, I think this is a. I had to look it up because I don't remember. But the Bunny Man is an urban legend that originated from two incidents in Fairfax County, Virginia, in 1970, but has been spread throughout Washington D.C. and the Maryland areas.
Okay.
The legend has many variations that involve a man wearing a rabbit costume who attacks people with an axe or a hatchet. And most of the stories occur around the Colchester Overpass, a southern railway overpass spanning Colchester Road near Clifton, Virginia. And it's sometimes referred to as the Bunny Man Bridge.
The Bunny Man.
Yeah. Virgins of the legend.
But people were killed? By this guy in a bunny in a rabbit costume?
It's a... So, the origin of it is the Fairfax County Public Library historian archivist Brian A. Conley extensively researched the Bunny Man legend. He has located two incidents of a man in a rabbit costume threatening people with an axe. The vandalism reports occurred 10 days apart in 1970 in Burke, Virginia.
Oh, so there's a span of like 2 weeks where a guy in a bunny costume terrorized
people? I guess so. The first incident was reported the evening of October 19th, 1970, by the U.S. Air Force Academy cadet Robert Bennett and his fiancée, who were visiting relatives on Guinea Road in Burke.
This story wasn't long enough to do a full thing about.
No.
Or else you'd have talked to me about the Bunny Man for 45 minutes.
Well, that was an urban legend. I don't know that necessarily is true.
Okay.
So apparently and around midnight, they were coming home from a football game, you know, naked at the football game.
The rabbit hour.
The rabbit hour. And then they parked their car in a field on Guinea Road to visit an uncle who lived across the street from where the car was parked.
There's no houses in the area. An uncle who lived across the street.
That just sounds like they were trying to have sex in their car and they just wanted to say they were going to visit someone.
No. We're visiting uncle across... they just call him uncle? We're visiting uncle Jerry
who lives in this abandoned hut.
Just uncle across the street. Uncle Tree! And
as they sat in the front seat with the motor running...
His motor running.
They noticed something moving.
Her motor slowly getting started.
Well, that's how ladies' motors work. I always say it's like a man is like a Corvette. It's like 0 to 60 in like 10 seconds. A woman is like a 1985 station wagon.
Ford.
It's Ford station wagon.
Just keep trying.
Just gotta keep like turning the keys and hope that it starts up eventually.
Maybe pull that thing a bunch?
It's taking a little while to warm up.
Flip this thing up and look inside. Yeah.
So they notice something moving outside the rear window, I guess. And then moments later, the front passenger window was smashed. And there was a white clad figure standing near the broken window.
Oh, right. The axe.
So Bennett turns the car around. Well, the man screamed at them about trespassing and said, "You're on private property and I have your tag number."
My uncle lives across the street.
Maybe it was their uncle. Uncle Jerry?
Uncle Rabbit, is that you?
You're on private property. Ah, that's my uncle for you. He just hates it when we come over unannounced. And then they drove down the road, and there was a hatchet apparently in their car floor, on the car floor.
They're like, "We're gonna go," and he's like, "Hop to it."
Yeah.
Okay, and there was a hatchet on the
floor. Then I guess the police asked him what he looked like, and Bennett was like, he was wearing a white suit with these long bunny ears.
Big white ears, pink in the middle.
Although his fiance was like, he didn't have bunny ears on his head.
Whiskers.
He was wearing a white capriote. What does that mean?
A capriote.
Capriote? It is.
What's a capriote?
Catholic pointed. So he's a KKK member.
Oh, a Catholic appointed hat? What are we, pointed hat, Virginia? Oh, so he was dressed as a KKK.
So he was a KKK man.
No, he's dressed from, he's a Klansman.
Oh, that's what happened. Okay.
Oh, it sounds like a Klansman.
Yeah, it sounds like a Klansman was having a party and they...
Uncle Klansman.
Walked into his, they were starting to have sex on his Klansman, you know, I don't know what they call those. Rallies.
Honey, that's not a rabbit. They floor it.
Meetings. But in the they both remembered seeing his face clearly, but I guess couldn't remember determine his race. I'm guessing if he was wearing,
I'm
a
guessing white,
hood, he was probably of the Caucasian variety.
Virginia, I'm guessing white.
The police returned the hatchet.
Police returned the Bennett hatchet.
No, they returned that hatchet to Bennett after they examined it, which is weird.
He goes, "Did you find my lucky rabbit's foot?"
No.
My Uncle Rabbit's foot.
And then I guess apparently the second time it happened was like on October 29th, 1970, when a construction security guard, Paul Phillips, approached a man standing on the porch of an unfinished home in Kings Park West on Guinea Road. Phillips said the man was wearing a gray, black, and white bunny costume. He was about 20 years old, 5'8" tall, and weighed about 175 pounds. And the man began chopping at a porch post with a long-handled axe, saying, "You're trespassing. If you come any closer, I'll chop off your head."
"You're trespassing." Okay. Like, get out of here, rabbit.
The Fairfax County Police opened investigations into both incidents, where both were eventually closed for lack of evidence. In the weeks following the incidents, more than 50 people contacted the police claiming to have seen the Bunny Man.
It's an urban legend.
And several newspapers, including the Washington Post, reported that the Bunny Man had eaten a man's runaway cat. What?
Runaway cat?
The Post articles that mentioned... Well, this is the Post.
You know what?
This is the Washington Post, not the New York Post. The New York Post, I would say, that's probably not... Yeah.
You know what? We are a little bit far from the original story. We've gone down such a rabbit hole.
The Chris Gethard Show does an episode of Let's Get Scared where Chris Gethard dresses as the Bunny Man for the full episode.
I believe that.
And Adult Swim.
First thing I thought of was the Jersey Devil when they started saying.
Apparently, also in October 9th, 2020, Adult Swim broadcast the story of Bunny Man as a bump during an episode of Family Guy.
I was going to say as a sketch on Robot Chicken.
And I was like, Chris Gethard is from New Jersey, and so am I. There's a slasher film about it called Bunny Man. It's also the second episode of season one as a Bunny Man reference of lore.
Stop hitting me.
The Amazon TV series.
Oh, you tried to get me to watch that, or you told me I should watch
it? I don't know. Apparently, this is related to... This is where they got the inspiration for Donnie Darko.
Bunny Darko.
It's just like a creepier version of Harvey, like where it's like a man just like claiming like that he sees a rabbit with an axe following him around. He's like, Harvey!
Harvey was a good rabbit.
Right? No, Harvey was a... Oh, I don't think he carried an axe and said, you're trespassing, Steve! Right. Or yeah, whatever his name is. I don't know.
Just a big man in a rabbit costume.
Big man in a rabbit costume.
And if that isn't the moral of Easter, I don't know what is. Big man in a rabbit costume. Ain't commercialism fun?
Isn't it?
You're looking at ads now.
No, I'm trying to cancel my Proven subscription because they just keep sending me expensive shit.
This is nothing we need to record.
I'm sorry.
Missed it earlier, but I said we've gone down such a rabbit hole.
It is such a rabbit hole. But it's Easter, so we're allowed to go down rabbit holes.
I know. It's the only time we are allowed to go down rabbit holes.
We're doing Alice in Wonderland.
Next week? Alice in next week. Look how optimistic I am. Next week?
Alice in Wonderland. Down the rabbit hole.
We'll be back 3 months from now with a July 4th killer.
I've been doing pretty good on them.
I know, we actually have been doing it once a month. Check us on that.
Huh?
You still looking at your Proven prescription? They better sponsor us.
Is this right or is this wrong?
They better sponsor us now that we're trying to cancel a Proven subscription.
I just want them not to send me more fucking expensive skincare that I haven't used.
All right, well, we're going to see you guys later. Thanks so much for listening. Please like, rate, review, subscribe, share it with your friends.
Also, why am I getting dog rescue emails about
because
dogs
you rescued a dog.
I know, but I said I didn't want them to keep emailing me, and they keep emailing me.
Well, you try getting off an email list. It's hard these days.
I know, but I don't need to see emails about dogs with no legs.
Speaking of getting off email list, if you want to get on an email list, email killerpillowtalk@gmail.com. With any kind of fun stories you think that we should do.
Do you have any suggestions of things that I should
As you
tell
can see, we just talked
tell
about...
Tell Charlie before bedtime.
A rabbit dressing up as a man? New at 11.
A rabbit dressing up as a man and yelling at people to get off my lawn.
Do you know where your kids are? They're in that rabbit costume? Rabbiting.
Tell
the
him
kids
to...
are doing it. Are you?
Raw dogging.
Okay. It's time to go to bed.
It's time to go to bed.
But please send us stories that you think we should cover. We usually do stuff around holidays, so
it doesn't have to be holiday based.
Memorial Day is coming.
It could be anything. I just was like trying to get thematic stuff because I was like, what is something? It was either this or I was gonna do something about a nurse.
And aren't nurses played out?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Possibly.
There's a nurse. The rabbit worked perfectly.
It was a nurse that killed people.
Sounds like we're going to hear about it one day.
Yeah.
That's Nurse Hatchet, right? Ratchet? Rabbit? What am I thinking of?
No, that's not
Hatchet
a real
Rabbit?
Rabbit Hatchet.
Can we call this episode Rabbit Hatchet?
No, I said Sunday Bloody Easter Sunday.
Sunday Bloody...
We made all those Bono jokes.
You're right. Those were fun. Remember those Bono jokes from 50 minutes ago?
Remember those Bono jokes in the beginning of this episode?
Those were fun.
Oh, that was a fun time.
A simpler time when I didn't know about a man killing children.
I know. That part was bad. I'm like, I don't need that.
All right. Well...
Also, if you remember my Proven password, please tell me.
And if you know Sarah's Proven password, please tell it to her. We're trying to cancel her subscription.
Or at least delay it for a couple more months.
Or at least push it off. Kick it down the... You know what?
Kick it down the rabbit hole.
Or at least we're going to...
Oh, wait. Now I figured it out.
We're going to kick it like a can with target practice. No, it's late. I'm trying to go to bed. Say goodnight, Charlie.
Say goodnight, Charlie.
Goodnight, Charlie.
Bye-bye.